How's everybody doing? Yay. Woo! Amen. Hey, I am super excited to get to come here. Years ago, some of you guys know this, Cassidy knows this, I used to be the student pastor. I was a youth pastor at Cornerstone, which were some amazing days, I might add. So, in fact, Riley and Haley, Cassidy's older sisters, started the youth group the same day I did. We all started. They were seventh grade, and I was like 40. You know, but we all started youth at the same time, and I had the greatest joy of being a part of student ministry because you guys are awesome. It is just so much fun to hang out with our students, and the joy, the privilege to be able to come up here and share from God's Word with you guys and to teach tonight is just incredible for me. So I'm greatly honored to be able to be with you guys for a little while tonight. I'm going to move this over. Okay, so do you ever have trouble remembering things?
No.
Never?
No.
Mitch does. That's a clear indication of what? He forgets all kinds of stuff, right? So do the other people struggle remembering things? What are some examples of things that you forget?
Math homework,
which is sometimes because we're getting just sometimes convenient. No? Okay. So what are other things you forget? Your ID? Yeah, okay. School ID? Huh? To take a bath. Hey, you got to take a bath once a week whether you need it or not. I do too. All right, so what other things do you forget? Oh, you forget about your brother. That's tough. Poor guy. So, yeah, we forget all kinds of things. Now, what are some of the things that we do to try to help ourselves remember things? Give me some examples. What?
Put a reminder in your phone.
Yes, you can put a reminder in your phone. That's right, and it'll ding. Haley even learned the other day that she can put a reminder in her phone, and when she drives up to the church or she drives up to the location, it'll remind her when she gets there, which is pretty cool. So, anyway, big brother watching you. All right, what else? What else do you do to remind yourself? Write it on your hand. What else? Just remember it. Ask someone to remind you. Very good, because a lot of times we have friends that can remember. What? Huh? Yes, I put a note. I put a note. This is sad. Technology. I've written a post-it note before and then stuck it to my phone. So, hey, but it works. Anyway, so yeah, lots of things like that that we do to remind ourselves of things or to remember. One of the things I often struggle to remember is if Miss Cindy, my wife, asked me to pick something up at the grocery store, she might tell me four or five things. And I'll remember the list, and I'll feel like, okay, there's five things, and I'll remember what they are. And then when I get to the store, why does that help me remember? Because you know there are five things. What's the problem with that plan? You might not actually know what the five things are. So you're standing in the grocery store, and you're thinking, okay, and you, like, forget number three. And you cannot remember number three. But you know there are five, so it helps. Another thing we often do, or some people, at least back in the day, some of your leaders, because they're, you know, all elderly folk, they used to do something or heard about something people used to do to help themselves remember. What do people do with their finger? Tie a string around their finger. Y'all ever heard of that?
No.
Well, this is a history lesson, okay? Back in the day, people would tie a string. This was before cell phones. Okay, this might be before phones. But anyway, we would tie a string around our fingers. And when you'd see that piece of string, it reminded you that you had something to remember. What's the problem?
It cuts off blood circulation.
Well done, Mitch. It cuts off blood circulation. Your finger falls off, which is a problem. But, yeah, what else is the problem? Yeah, you know, I was supposed to remember something, but I can't remember what it was. Well, so it works, but it's not foolproof. So tonight and in the series, Pastor Scott and Pastor Izzy, as they're leading our students through the series, are trying to use a tool to help us remember something. There are lots of ways we do this. Oftentimes we come up with an abbreviation, an acronym, an acrostic to help us remember something. Well, we're doing that this week and this over this season with the gospel. And we're using the word gospel to help us remember the content of the gospel. What is the gospel? What does it say? Now, when we use the word gospel, what are we talking about? The good news. That's literally what the word gospel means in the Greek. It's the Greek term euangelion, which means good news. Because the gospel is good news. Why is it good? Huh? Because it's from God. But lots of things from God that aren't necessarily good news to us. Why is the gospel good news? Girls right here in the middle. Why is the gospel good news? Huh? Because Jesus saved us. It is the hope we have in Christ. It's the good news. Very good. So we are studying this acrostic to help us remember and learn what the content of the gospel is, all right? So I want you to use these, Pastor Scott wants you to use these to help yourself remember, okay, what are all the parts of the gospel, all right? And then to understand theologically what it means to share the gospel. So there's two purposes here. One is for us to understand it more fully, and one is for us to be able to share it with other people as we have opportunity to share with folks. Now, the gospel is simple. I sum it up in four parts. I do it this way. I do it as sin, death, Jesus, and faith. And it sums up the gospel for me. We're sinners, and the penalty for sin is death, but Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again. And if I put my faith and trust in him, I can live forever. I can have eternal life, a forever relationship with him. That's the simple gospel. There are lots of ways to do this, and one of those is right here on the screen, okay? So I want you to be thinking through. We already talked last week about the first one. God created us to be with him. Pastor Izzy came and taught about how God created us as a people, and he made us in the image of God. Do you remember what it means to be made in the image of God? Anybody remember from last week? No? To be made in the image of God means to have certain attributes that are given to us that are in kind like God. You know, so we have feeling and emotion, and we rule, we have the ability to reign over the creation that God has entrusted to us to care for as humans. There are certain things that God has created in us such that we are made in the image of God, and that reality makes us different from every other creature on the face of the earth. One of those is that we live forever. We are eternal beings. So we'll live forever somewhere, either with God or apart from God, but we are eternal. There are lots of things that separate us from God, from the rest of creation, and make us that are identified by being created in the image of God. So God created us in the image of himself, male and female, he created us in order to be with him. Yeah, to be in relationship with him. He created us to be worshipers of God. He created us to honor him with our lives. So that is the first place. Now, you remember the story you guys studied last week of Adam and Eve. What was their condition? What state were they in after they created? Huh? Yeah, they were innocent before God, and they had a relationship with God. So in the garden, Adam would walk in the cool of the day with the Lord. He had a close relationship with God. And then something happened. Something went wrong. What was the thing that happened? They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and in that they sinned, and there became this rift, this separation between God's creation, Adam and Eve, and God himself. And there was a brokenness now that existed in their relationship, the relationship between man and God. And that's our second point. Our sins separate us from God. And we're going to study that tonight. We're going to study it from Ephesians chapter 2. But before we start there, I want you guys to turn to Genesis chapter 3. So open your Bibles to the front. It's pretty easy to find because it's the very first book, Genesis chapter 3. And then I want you to pair up with the person next to you, all right, a group of two. If there's other people around you, you may have to separate a little bit because it's not a party, okay? We're going to separate a little bit, and I want you to pair up with the person next to you, and I want you to read this story. I want you to read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Okay, can you guys see we need to turn the lights on? You do need to turn the lights on? Can we turn the lights on, Justin? Or thank you, Mr. Justin. Turn the stage lights on. All right, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. All right, we're not talking about what happened in school today, okay? We're talking about Genesis chapter 3, all right? So look together at it. Separate a little bit if you need to. Put a little space. Girls, y'all are together, so you can do 3 and 2. How about that? Does that work? Oh, you and Paul, this is in the 3 right here. So we'll do 3 if we have to, but let's try to do groups of 2, at most 3. But I want you to focus, okay? I'm going to walk around. If you're not focused, I'm going to call you out, and the leaders are going to call you out. All right, so we got to focus. Read verses 1 to 13, and I want you to be able to tell me this. You ready? What was the state of mankind? What was the state of Adam and Eve, mankind, after they sinned, after they ate from the tree? All right, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes. Okay, so tell me the story. Now, just tell me what happened to Adam and Eve, what their condition was after their state, after they sinned, but tell me what happened. The serpent came, huh? Yeah, he told her to eat the fruit, you know, and what did she say?
Well, she denied eating the fruit at first because God told her
not. Yeah, first she's like, no, we can't eat that fruit because not just God told us not to, but what? Yeah, if we eat it, we'll die. What did Satan say? Because the serpent represents Satan. Yeah, you're not going to die. Surely you won't die. But rather, God knows. You see what he did there? God knows that if you eat of it, you'll know good and evil, and you'll be like him. What did he do when he made that statement? Huh? He deceived her. What did he make her think?
She could be like God.
She could be like God. He also made her think something else. What did he make her think, girls? Come on. What do y'all think, Grace? Cassie? Like what? Yeah, like God was holding out on them in some way. Good, girls. He made her think, you know, look, God knows he's keeping something from you and that you're missing out. So, and he deceived her into thinking that if she ate the fruit, it would be good. Now, where was Adam? All right, ladies, is this all on the ladies?
No.
So thank you, Mitch. That's an important statement. Remember that the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Okay?
Remember, no. Okay?
Keep that in mind, because a lot of people don't say, well, this is Eve's fault. It's the woman's fault. But where was Adam? Well, who said that? He was right there. I believe Adam was standing right beside her. She didn't have to say, wonder where Adam is, and go look for him. I think he's standing right there. And he's like, well, I'll let her eat it. We'll see if she does. He said that's terrible. Yes. Yeah. And so she ate of the fruit, and then she gave it to her husband, and he's thinking, well, she didn't die, so, right? In some ways, Adam's sin was greater than Eve's. Why? Because he didn't try to stop her. He didn't love her. And even more than that, Adam was the man who is, according to God's will, the head of the marriage. It was his responsibility to care for his wife and protect his wife. He should have said, no, 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 no. We're going to obey God and stop Eve. Don't eat that. He should have stepped up into the leadership as the spiritual leadership for his family. And he didn't do it. He let Eve eat it, and then he ate it too. Now, what changed? What happened? They were ashamed. What? They were ashamed. What do you mean? Ashamed of what? Yeah, they were naked. They never realized that before. Yes, Operation Fig Leaf. Try to cover everything up, right? With a fig leaf. So they did that to try to hide what? Themselves and their
sin,
their shame. And then what did they do? They're trying to run away from the truth. What? They tried to hide. Yeah, they tried to hide from God. Had they ever hidden from God before? Never. Something changed. And God's looking for them in the garden, and he calls out from the man, "Where are you?" And what is, and finally the man answers, and the Lord said, "Why are you hiding? What happened?" And what did he say? What did Adam say? "Where were you?" And Adam said, "Yeah, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid." Had he ever experienced fear before?
Yes.
Now there's fear. He had never had fear before. What he, Adam. Adam had never experienced fear before. This was a new thing for him. He was afraid because I was naked and ashamed. And God said, "Who told you you were afraid? Have you eaten of the tree?" Yes. Which is confronting this issue in Adam's life. In that moment, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, suddenly they were changed. Suddenly they experienced fear and shame. And what happened next? This is kind of funny. So what did Adam do, ladies?
He blamed it
on his wife. What? Can you believe it? Not only blame it on his wife, what else did he do? He said, "The woman whom you gave me." So who else did he blame? God. Wow. I mean, you got to figure Eve's going, you know, she's like, "Really?" Yeah. And then what did Eve do?
She
blamed it on the serpent. Yes. So they went from innocence to now fear, shame, guilt, and blame. Blaming other people for what they did wrong. Man, how quickly did they fall? So, we see in this sudden moment a separation from God, which is our principle for today. Our sin separates us from God. Suddenly, when Adam and Eve ate, they were suddenly different. And there was distance in their relationship with God. There was separation from God. They didn't have the same relationship they had before. Have you ever had a good friend that you did something to hurt their feelings? Anybody? Yeah? What happened to the friendship? At least for a while, huh? What'd you say, Grace? It died. And you might have killed it completely, yeah. Or what else happens? Yeah, there's distance in the friendship now. There's not the same kind of friendship and relationship there was before. Why? Why does that happen when you do something to hurt someone's feelings or offend them? Because what? You create a rift. That's a good word. A rift, a division. And now there's brokenness in the relationship. And what's necessary for you to be friends again? An apology. There's got to be some sort of reconciliation. Sometimes an apology doesn't work, does it? There's got to be some way that you bring this relationship back together. Well, this is what happened in Adam and Eve's case. They offended God because God is a holy God. And he cannot accept sin. And when they sinned against God, they broke their relationship with God. They offended and hurt God, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice. And when they did that, it created distance. And from that moment forward, as you read the rest of the Bible, what's the story of the Bible about? Restoring, reconciling this relationship. Restoring mankind back into relationship with God, which ultimately happens how? Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins to take upon himself that penalty and to create, make it possible that we could be reconciled to God. Guys, that's the gospel. The gospel is that there was this brokenness between man and God, and God, through sending his son, made a way to reconcile that, to bring us back together into relationship with them. That is the content of the gospel. So we're going to study that tonight. Now, this week in Journey Group, once you come to Journey Group, right? Going to be there for Journey Group Sunday night. You're going to work through a little bit more of that story in Genesis chapter 3 and be able to talk through some of these things. But we're going to turn for now to Ephesians chapter 2. So take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. So turn to the front of your Bibles. Excuse me, the end of your Bibles, I guess. To Ephesians chapter 2. All right, now Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he was writing to people who were already Christians. And he's talking to them in this chapter about who they were before they became Christians and telling them some about what their state was, what their condition was before coming to faith in Christ. And that's what Ephesians chapter 2 is all about. So we're going to look at this text, and we're going to understand better our principle tonight, which is our sin separates us from God. Now, in what sense does our sin separate us from God? Well, look what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." This is verse 1. "In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Now, Paul starts this by saying you were dead in your trespasses and sins. All right, so let's pause and think about, first, what is a sin? Because that's where we got to start. Adam and Eve sinned, right? So if you were trying to give a definition for sin, what would you say? Huh? Anything that you think, say, or do that does not please God. That's pretty great. That's a pretty great definition. Anybody else got something else? Excellent, Grace. What else? What's sin? Give me some examples. What? Lying? Is that it? No. Murder? Yeah, that's a heavy one. Cheating? Huh? The seven deadly sins. Good. We won't go through those. What else? Somebody else? No sin. Huh? An idol. Worshiping an idol? Good.
Stealing.
Adultery. Yeah. Cheating on your wife, not or husband, not being faithful to your spouse. What? Stealing. Yeah. Yeah, using God's name in vain. One more or two more. Pride. Disobeying who? Your parents. That's a big one. Y'all don't like that one, do you? Being mean to your brother or sister, too. Did you hear that, Hannah and Grace? Y'all hear that? Anyway, so see, I called them out. Didn't I? So those things are sin, yeah. So there are lots of different sins, but we're talking about sin tonight, not so much as something you just do wrong, but a broader sense of sin that it was what that we find ourselves in, a state that we find ourselves in because we sinned against God. Now, the Bible defines sin as falling short or missing the mark. Now, I played baseball when I was your age and growing up. Who else plays baseball in here? We only have one or two? Really? Wow. Okay, so y'all have played some before. All right, so I played baseball, and I played infield, which is the place to be. I love if y'all outfielder, God bless you. I'm sorry. But infield is amazing. I used to love to play the infield. But before I got in the infield, I had to do my time in the outfield. So anyway, when I was in the outfield, they taught me how to throw a ball from the outfield to home plate. You've been taught that? And we did what's called a crow hop. You know what a crow hop is, Mike? Yeah. A crow hop is when you catch the ball, if it's a ground ball, whatever it is, you take a step 1 foot behind the other as you throw, and because you took that step, you can throw the ball a lot harder. Now, it looks a little more animated than that, but that's the concept. And you can throw the ball closer to home plate. Now, Mike is a baseball player, so if Mike and I were both trying to throw the ball to home plate, I would throw it farther than him because that's just me. Amen?
No, no.
What do you mean, no? What? Look at me. No? Okay, well, I think Mike and Mike can do. So, back in the day, though, I get a little farther than Mike. Maybe not now, the old dude. But anyway, but we could throw the ball, and I might could throw a little farther than him, or he may throw it farther than me, but if we don't get it to home plate, then we miss the target, the mark. We fell short, okay? In the same way, sin is falling short of the glory of God. It's trying to attempt, but not being enough. We fall short of the glory of God, but it's much more extreme than that. Because Mike and I might be able to throw it and get it close to home plate, but and we may miss, but we're going to get close. The thing is, as sinners, we fall so far short of the glory of God that it would be more like throwing a baseball from here to New York City. Which is impossible. So Micah might throw it farther than me on that day, but we're not getting anywhere near New York City. That's what sin looks like before the righteousness of God. We fall short of his glory. He is the holy God, and even our greatest, on our best day, our righteousness is far short of what he is in his holiness. So we sin, and having done so, we find ourselves in this state of sin. Now, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, Adam and Eve, remember the serpent told Eve what? Eve told the serpent that she was going to die if she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But did she die? Why? What happened? Huh? She what? I can't hear you. God had mercy on her, but actually she did die. She didn't die physically. She died spiritually. And that's kind of our first point. Our sin separates us from God spiritually. Spiritually. Death is to be separated from life, right? And God is life. Where the Spirit is, there is life. And so when we sin and we find ourselves in the state of sin, we find ourselves separated from God. What does that mean? It means to be dead. Now, it doesn't mean we're physically dead, but it does mean that we are spiritually dead, which means we don't have within us the ability to know and walk in relationship with God. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and we said all those things, they felt shame and guilt. All those things were related to the fact that now they were spiritually dead. They were separated from God and unable to have that spiritual relationship with God that they had had before. So Paul says, look, you're dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. So in your sin, you're dead. Now that speaks to the point that in the Bible, sin is much more of a state of being than it is an action. Now, it's an action, too, so we can name all these different sins. Like we mentioned cheating and lying and stealing and murder and adultery and all those kinds of things. But in the Bible, sin is much more of a state of being that we find ourselves in. So while we're alive physically, we're dead because of sin spiritually. Have you ever seen a zombie movie? Yeah, y'all not supposed to be watching those movies. Y'all know those bad movies? Grace's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, so you guys may have seen a zombie movie. What's a zombie? It's a dead person. Yeah, it's dead, but it's alive. So the zombie walks around, he's like, ugh, you know, like whatever. And while he's alive physically, huh? Monday without coffee. Oh, I don't know what that is. Anyway, so I'm clueless. Huh? Oh, Monday without your coffee. That's Miss Jane on Monday. So, yeah, a zombie's alive on the outside, but what's going on inside? Death. Yeah, it's just dead. Well, that's kind of the state of the world. Now, I don't mean that everybody's zombies, but it's kind of like that. That they're alive on the outside, but on the inside there's no real life. I watched the movie World War Z. Now, I don't want y'all ever watch that movie. I'll scare you to death. All right? Yeah, it scared me. Anyway, so I was watching that movie. And the thing about that movie is the zombies move like ninjas. I mean, it's like flying. And it is so intense. And I watched it one night. If I watch that kind of thing, I have to watch it after my kids go to bed and if my wife goes to work, because she don't like that kind of movies, and she certainly don't let me let my kids watch that kind of movie. So I was watching this movie. It's PG-13. It's not bad, but it's bad. But anyway, so I'm watching this movie, and the zombies are like, bah, bah. I mean, it's just super intense. And it's about midnight. Miss Cindy was at work, and I'm sitting on the chase in our room, and you know how when you're watching a movie, and the more you watch, you're going, and you kind of all in. All of a sudden, I look at the door, and somebody's standing in the doorway. It was a zombie, man. Come and kill me. I mean, it was over. Turned out it was Miss Cindy. She came home from work early. Scared me to death. Well, maybe a little bit, but, you know, I at least yelled. I was like, you know, well, she's standing in the doorway. Man, I was so certain that the zombies were there. So that's, I mean, we hate this thing because what we see in it, it's not natural. It's this thing that has life, but death. Well, the same thing's true of us when we're born in this world. How many people in the history of the world have been created? Two. Only two people. Who are they? Adam and Eve. Adam was created out of the dust of the earth, and Eve from Adam's rib. And they were fashioned and they were created. Every other person that's come in the history of the world has been born of Adam and Eve, right? Now, if Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, they died spiritually and they became sinners, then what is true of every other person who's born after them? They're born sinners too. We are born sinners. Dead, listen guys, this is important. Dead in our trespasses and sins. That's the condition we find ourselves in from birth, from the place where we first start. And then, as sinners, what do as we begin to grow up? What do we begin to do as we grow up? We sin. Why do we sin? Because we're... Answer me. Why do we sin? Because we're...
Rebellious.
Yes, sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin in keeping with our nature as sinners. I always use the analogy of a dog. What makes a dog a dog? There's a lot of people in the world that are furry. But does that make them a dog? Can you bark? Does that make you a dog? No, that's right. A dog isn't, listen, a dog isn't a dog because he barks. He barks in keeping with his nature because he's a dog. Same thing's true of us. We sin in keeping with our nature because we are sinners. That's what Paul says. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. So guys, we find ourselves having been born in the image of Adam, sinners. And there's nothing we can do about that. From the very first place we come into this world, we're separated from God spiritually. Dead in our trespasses and sins. And we do all these other things that Paul says. He says we, following the course of the world, the world is this world system that Satan has put in place. Following the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? It's not Jesus. Who is it? Who rules over this world? Who rules over this world right now? Satan. Now, is God ultimately in authority? Yes. But he has allowed Satan to rule in this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. The spirit... that the evil spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Jesus' spirit isn't at work in people to produce disobedience. Who is ruling this world? Satan. And he is the author of the things in the world that dishonor God. Listen, guys, a lot of looking around. Pay attention to me. He is the author of the things in this world that draw the world away from God. Look what it says next. He says, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. So we also lived according to this world system before we came to faith in Christ. Before we come to faith in Christ, we operate according to this old sinful nature. And we follow the course of this world, indulging the desires of our flesh and our mind, which means that we follow appetites. People in the world live for what?
Money
or food or greed or, huh? War, what? Huh? Power, that's a good one. Yeah, they whatever serves who? Themselves. That's the world that we follow. So when you look around at the things that you experience in this world, recognize that, look, there's a power behind this world that is not of God. And it has an agenda. Satan's agenda is to destroy you as a Christian. And he will work in whatever way he can, through television or social media or other people that we hang out with, through this world system, to try to draw you away from God. So you have to be careful. You have to be conscious of the power that is working in the world around us and be guarded against that. It doesn't mean we separate ourselves from the world, because we live in the world, but we live for Christ in the world, and we're aware of this world system that's working against us. Some of the things that come on television, some of the things you see on social media are not honoring to God. And their purpose and their desires to draw you away from God. So we have to understand that we're separated from God spiritually before we come to faith. But after we come to faith, we separate ourselves from this world and this world system. So sin first separates us from God spiritually, and it second separates us from God eternally. There's a little phrase at the end of our verses tonight that I want you to catch. He says this, that when we were dead in our sins, we were carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were, listen to this, look at verse 3, were by nature children of wrath. That word nature is where we get our word physics or physical. It is the character of a person. We are by nature children of wrath. Now, what is wrath? Wrath is the anger of God towards sin. The anger of God towards sin that works itself out towards sin. So what we realize when we read this text is that, look, when Adam and Eve sinned and we became sinners, we offended God. And God wants to pour out his wrath on sin. He's holy and righteous, and he cannot accept sin. And because of that, he is going to pour out his wrath upon all of us because of our sin. Now, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. So let's think about what a wage is. I need somebody. Let's see. Who wants to be? Come up here, Mitch. That's fine. Mitch here has a job. You got a job? No? Okay. Well, if he gets a job, let's say Mitch gets a job. Mitch makes $60 an hour. Bringing down, pulling it down, making some cash, right? And he's worked all week for Mr. Allen, making $60 an hour. That's right. And on the end of the week, he goes to see Mr. Allen. He's like, okay, Mr. Allen, time to get paid. And Mr. Allen says, no, I'm not going to pay you this week. What's Mitch going to say?
Why?
Why? Why would he say it's not fair? Because he worked for it. In fact, we would say he... True, Mike keeps getting muted. Because that's true, we are facing an eternity separated from God. And we don't have any hope apart from Jesus. The Bible says that the law, the word of God, has shut up all men under sin. That we are all trapped in sin. Because we are sinners. and we have no hope. That's what the Bible teaches, because God cannot accept or tolerate sin. So we find ourselves in this trap. Now, I want you to watch this video, and I want you to watch it because I want you to think at the end of it about what happens, and then we'll talk about a little bit of it at the end. We got audio, Pastor Scott? Striking about that little clip is the feeling of being trapped. Because that's the place we find ourselves in sin. There's no escape. Remember I said in the beginning, Adam and Eve were the only two people in the history world that were ever created, and everybody else has been born in sin? We are all born trapped. But there's one person in the history of the world who was not, listen guys, there's one person in the history of the world who was not born as a son of Adam. Who was it? Jesus Christ. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was born outside and free. And he is able to rescue us from this place, this prison, if we put our faith and trust in him, which is the good news. That's the rest of what Pastor Scott is going to teach over the next few weeks. That Adam and Eve sinned, and we find all ourselves sinners, and the penalty for sin is death, and we find ourselves trapped. But what? Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins so that we could be rescued. We could be saved. That's the good news. But you will never appreciate Jesus as your Savior if you don't realize just how trapped you are in sin. Because if you're not lost, you don't need to be saved. If you don't understand sin and the weight of sin and the penalty of sin, you don't need a Savior. But God sent His Son to die for us. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, and you're like, you know, I look at my whole life, and I've never made that decision. I'm still trapped. I want you to talk to Pastor Scott or Miss Jane or Mr. Allen or Mr. Justin or Robin or Mr. Luke or somebody and say, you know what, I don't know for sure. I think I'm still trapped. And I want to be saved. And they can help you know how to do that. But I want you to understand it, because as we go through the rest of this and you have the opportunity to tell somebody the good news, it's good news because we've been set free. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. We ask for your favor and blessing as we go into the remainder of our night. And Lord, I pray that you would help us understand more fully just what it means to be saved. Help us understand, Lord, what it means to be a sinner and how much you hate sin and how we need to be delivered. And Lord, may it be that as a result, we would come to faith in Christ and experience that salvation. Lord, if there are students here who don't know Jesus, I pray that you would draw them to faith. They might have a forever relationship with you and overcome sin which has separated from them, that separated them. And for those who do know, Lord, I pray that they would understand more fully just how amazing this salvation is. And they would be able to share the good news with other people. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.